ABC Radio Australia.
This time a year ago, very few people around the world had heard of the term COVID-19. The idea that a contagious virus would force entire countries into lockdown, stopping global travel and kill nearly 2 million people was the stuff of science fiction movies. So it's fair to say the way 2020 turned out was pretty impossible to predict. And many people would say that 2021 is looking fairly uncertain too. And yet, as she does every year, Pacific expert Dr. Tess Newton-Cain is throwing in her bids and today releasing her 2021 predictions for the region on the DevPol blog. Good morning, Tess.
Good morning, Marla, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Now, how confident are you feeling about your predictions given the state of the world as it is at the moment?
Well, obviously, there are some things that I'm not prepared to predict. I don't have a crystal ball, and I think anyone that does probably threw theirs out fairly early on in 2020. But I think there are a few things that we can at least look forward to that we can be fairly confident are going to be relevant over and above the ongoing impacts of COVID-19 in the region.
Now, let's start with COVID-19 because, of course, vaccine rollouts will really determine how much of our lives might return to normal. What evidence do you have that things could potentially normalise in the Pacific this year?
Well, I think certainly, as you say, the advent of vaccines is going to be quite significant. We know that in the thinking of the global community, and in particular in relation to development partners, how vaccines can be provided to Pacific Island countries is part of that thinking. And vaccinations have actually started, particularly in those northern states, in Micronesia, the states that are associated with the US. They've benefited from their Operation Warp Speed. So we've seen vaccinations already in places like Palau. So I think that's definitely going to be a significant thing to watch. From what I can understand, there's still a lot of work, or still some work to do around the logistics, around how we're going to vaccinate entire populations, if that's the way to go, particularly in those bigger countries. You know, as we know, the topography and the physical terrain of places like Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands make, you know, vaccinating an entire population quite a big task. So that I think there's still some work to do around that. So I think it's definitely going to be significant, but whether, as with lots of places, I don't think it's going to have much of an impact on the current situation until probably after the middle of the year.
Absolutely. Now, you did say that many people did throw out their crystal balls after the 2020 predictions. You predicted, however, that Pacific leaders would meet in Vanuatu in August for the annual Pacific Islands Forum. Obviously, COVID meant that that did not happen. The regional bloc also appears to be a bit divided over the issue of its Secretary General, with this week, in fact, actually being the last of Dame Meg Taylor's contract. And yet leaders haven't met yet to vote on her replacement. Is the region headed for a bit of a divisive 2021, do you think?
Well, I think there are divisions. I think we won't necessarily see those divisions played out in public. But as we know, the leaders didn't meet at all last year, not even in a virtual setting, which the foreign ministers did, and other ministerial meetings did actually take place online. There was scheduled to be, you know, there was talk of an online meeting to have been held yesterday, specifically to address this issue of the new Secretary General. And that hasn't happened. It is proving to be something of a sticking point. It's not helped by the fact that normally these sorts of things would be resolved maybe over a shell of kava or with a walk along the beach where people can talk quietly and, you know, just sort of resolve things in an informal way. And that hasn't been able to happen. So it's definitely a sticking point. And I think it's quite, I think it's a shame, obviously, that, you know, the Forum Secretariat is always at risk of being downplayed in terms of its relevance or its significance. And an issue like this tends to play into that narrative. Some would say, and I think quite rightly, that we need the regional architecture more than ever at the moment. And so having that issue resolved as to who is going to head up the Secretariat is one that really needs to be dealt with as soon as possible, I think.
Mm. Now, thankfully, in 2020, the planned elections weren't impacted. And this year, we have three more on the cards in FSM, Samoa and Tonga. Which are you going to be watching most closely and why?
I think the ones in Samoa are going to be the most interesting, and that's because, you know, as we know, the Prime Minister of Samoa has been in situ for a long time. He's been Prime Minister since 1998, so that makes him very much a long stayer in terms of Pacific politics. But there have been some quite significant shifts in Samoa recently, and it looks, you know, I think for the first time in a long time, you know, we may see a realistic race for the leadership. And he, you know, I think he's facing some quite serious challenges that he hasn't had to face before, most notably with his former deputy, Fiame Naomi Mataafa, who decamped from, you know, resigned from cabinet and is currently sitting as an independent, but is expected to join a relatively new party, which uses FAST as its acronym. And she carries with her an awful lot of political capital and political clout. So I think, yeah, in terms of considering that politics in Samoa has been very steady and fixed for quite a long time, we may see some significant changes there.
Now, finally, we got to talk Australia's relationship with the Pacific. It's been several years since the Pacific Step Up was launched, and it went somewhat quiet in 2020. Do you think it will be tested on climate change, especially in the lead up to the COP26, which was postponed from last year?
Well, certainly that's going to be a significant focus for many in the Pacific. Even last year, at the height of all the you know, uproar that COVID-19 caused, the leadership of the region was still very strong, saying, yes, this is significant, and yes, this is a problem, but we still know what our major issue is, and it's about climate change. And as we know, there have been concerns within the region about what Australia's position is. There's a lot going on at the moment, including the change in administration in the US, the UK taking on the presidency of COP26, and they've already made it very clear that they see the Pacific role in that as being quite significant. So as well as the pressure from within the region, what we may see is outside allies such as the US and the UK and possibly the European Union, you know, making it clear that, you know, Australia very much is on the outer when it comes to this as a global citizen as well as a member of the Pacific family. So, you know, I think we started to see some small shifts at the end of last year in terms of talking about maybe, you know, walking back from the using the Kyoto credits, possibly talking about revised targets. So there's still a long way to go, but I think, you know, this year may be a year where we start to see Australia become, you know, get more on the same page as everybody else.
I think everyone in the region is anticipating what 2021 will bring in many senses. But Dr. Tess Newton-Cain, thank you so much for sharing your predictions for the Pacific in 2021.
You're very welcome, Marla. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Tess Newton-Cain, who's the project lead for the Pacific Hub at Griffith University.